Ladies and gentlemen, boils and ghouls, welcome to a long overdue Riding with the Wolf. It'll be a short one, but got some things to talk about as I head to the comic shop, which I haven't been able to afford for the last few weeks because sales have dumped, and that is not meant to make anyone feel bad. It's just the state of the union. So let's get to it. All right, so yeah, I've been a little bit. I know I kind of overloaded you with a bunch of my musings there for a while where it was, I had like a Riding with the Wolf every other day. I think I had mentioned before January was tough and that I wasn't going to let February be that tough. And it, in a way, it ended up being pretty tough too. And the general consensus is I'm getting from a lot of people is they're still trying to figure out how much they spent on Christmas and tax season coming back. So I imagine there'll be an uptick on things. But not only that, after not being sick for 2 years, I got sick at the end of last year when I had to do that trip up to Reno. And this week, I got sick again. Neither time was the dreaded Rona. But it's been a weird time, and now it's turned into allergies. You know, of course, that's downtime. But, the world right now, I mean, absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if you're following the news. You know, look what's going on in Canada. Look what's going on in the Ukraine. Look what's going on in America. It's a rough time right now. And I have a bad feeling that things aren't going to get better anytime soon. And then on an up note, everyone is dropping mandates. I am just so befuddled over this whole situation from day one about coronavirus, COVID, Omicron, Percy I-8, whatever the fuck you call it this week. None of it makes sense. I even read a report, you know, because I'm a internet Google scientist. But I read a report where they're not releasing information by the CDC on the effectiveness of the vaccine anymore because they don't want it disputed. And I'm also hearing that Omicron did more to immunize people than the vaccine did because it has a different T cell or something like that, that once you get it, it helps you and prevents you from getting it again. So as soon as Omicron hit, it's like nature took care of itself, infected everyone, and it was the least volatile of any of the variants, and then everybody had it, we were over it, and now it's all but disappeared. Now damn near everywhere is done with mask mandates. I think Hawaii is the only one clinging to that still. And they're even putting in a bill to have airlines remove masks now, which made zero sense anyway. I mean, you're going to stand 6 feet apart just to cram onto a aluminum tube that shoots you 30,000 feet in the air. You're going to stand 6 feet apart on the ground while you're checking in. Like, that's just dumb. Everything's been dumb. Speaking of dumb, here we are in beautiful Las Vegas where it's been upper 70s, close to 80, and I'm driving around in a hoodie and a beanie because it's been snowing. That's right, my mountains in Vegas are covered in snow, and the world panic continues. Man, I think I spoke on this before. The Ukraine thing reminds me of my childhood with Desert Storm. It wasn't that I loved war. I love war planes and military vehicles and things like that. So it was cool to see the F-117 in action and a lot of, you know, the videos that were coming through that we got to see back then. So I'm really interested in what's been going on in Ukraine, especially since we had Red Flag here and all of the bombers and all the fighter jets were here. And now all of those same bombers and fighter jets that were training from Europe are now preparing for war in Europe. So it's kind of like the home team is over there in an away game. We're trying to figure out what's going on. I certainly don't hope for nuclear war, but if it happens, it's going to be real interesting. I don't even know who's in the right. I don't even know who I would side with at this point. Ukraine was a part of the USSR, I guess, and they just want it back. It's part of their economy, and they want to better themselves. Yet here we are telling them that they can't do that. Okay. So I guess we have to make someone the bad guy. So I guess Russia's the bad guy now. What happened to Iran? I remember like 2 years ago, we were going to go to war with Iran. It's always a January thing. Always. Yeah, it is what it is, you know. As you can tell, I'm still kind of stuffed up. I'm trying to talk and get my lungs and nasal passages back to the way they used to be so I can start singing and playing again. On that note, actually, you know, I've been trying to get back into music. I've been trying to do that sort of thing. The band that I fill in with, that I've been friends with for well over a decade now, has switched guitar players, and I was too busy as an artist to fill in and sort of told everyone that I wasn't going to be doing music anymore. But when a full-time position came up, for some reason I had it in my mind that I would or possibly should have been considered for the position, and the spot, because I can't lay claim to it, is oddly enough going to be filled by somebody from the UK. I mean, if that's not apropos, I don't know what is. The Irish guitar player is going to be the new guy, which is great. He's a great dude. I get along with him well. I've talked to him about a lot of my frustrations with the UK, and he says the same thing. He's like, fuck Britain. I can't stand those assholes. They're all pretentious pricks that think they're better than everyone else and have to dominate everything. And he's trying to describe to me there's a difference between Catholic and Protestant Ireland and Chunky Arla, the our time will come Irish people. And he's a cool dude. Like, we're quickly becoming best friends, and I don't fault him for anything. I just see myself getting back into music, and because I had the opportunities to do other things, have lost contacts and credibility in the music world. So now I'm kind of at a standstill where it's like, well, shit, what do I do? And I made two lengthy long posts on Facebook about this, which I could, you know, go on here and reiterate. But I'm sure most of you people saw that on the Facebook anyway, because my audience is the same faithful 15 that's always supported me. But yeah, it's a real interesting time right now. I know people are starving for gigs. I know people are looking for work. We lost a lot of friends. We lost a lot of family members, either physically or just spiritually, because of all the fighting with politics and coronavirus and all that. Now that things are seemingly over, you know, who knows where things are going to go. Hopefully those relationships will fix themselves and we can get back to liking each other and whatnot. But, you know, the world keeps moving. And shout out to, you know, a couple Wolf Club members and people. I've seen a lot of babies being born, and congrats on that. That's such a wonderful thing, and I'm so happy for them. I've had a couple people do that where they've had babies in the last few months, and these must be the quarantine-agers that are going to come out, I swear. But, yeah, I hope the best for them, and I hope they get to grow up in a beautiful world and enjoy some of the things that we got to enjoy, because I really strongly feel that my generation and my childhood was probably the last of the fun generation and the last of creativity. And I've spoke on this before, because nothing now is being created new. It's all reboots and rehash and doing things for people that can afford it. In other words, HasLab and Mattel Creations and all these GoFundMe projects for a $500 Rancor that doesn't get funded and shit like that. you know, they're catering and pandering to all of us adults who grew up with this stuff. So I hope the children that are being born now have something that when they're 20 or hitting their 30s, that they can look back and say, oh man, this is so cool, this is coming out again. Because I, not to be doom and gloom about it, I really don't think there is. What are people today, kids that were even born 10 years ago, they're graduating grade school, getting into high school, which was a pivotal moment for me. That's when I started getting into comics and deciding maybe what I wanted to do with life and wasting my life on video games and things. But, you know, at least I still had comics and toys and X-Men and 90s bands and ska music and Spin Doctors and Primus and Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was all like bass funk fun stuff. It seems like the kids that were born 10 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago in the 2000s, they're not going to be able to look back and say, oh man, remember when that DJ pushed that button at that concert and we were high off our ass? Or remember when we used to play that game on our mom's phone? What was it, where you would throw the birds up against a wall and they were like disgruntled? Oh yeah, Angry Birds, remember that? Oh, that wasn't that great? I don't see it. And no one of the younger generation collects physical product anymore. And now physical product is being taken away from us. A lot of shows don't become seasons. You have to subscribe to a streaming service. So if there is a show, maybe, I don't know, Yo Gabba Gabba or Dora the Explorer, whatever kids are watching these days, are they going to be able to reminisce and go through that later on in life and get to watch that again? It's hard to think about. It was difficult for me growing up in the 80s and 90s as a kid, and then having that lull between physical media and the internet where you couldn't find anything. If you wanted to watch Muppet Babies or Masters of the Universe or Dukes of Hazzard or the A-Team or something like that, you couldn't find it. They weren't on DVD anywhere. They hadn't quite got into the movement of season box sets, because back then things weren't called seasons. So it was a weird time. I think that's why I overdid it when this stuff finally did come out. And I'm glad I did and started buying all the season box sets and all the nostalgia that I could find, because it was gone. So, cheers to the new kids. I hope they have safe, happy, healthy lives and have all the fun that we did growing up, and a safe and healthy life. I really do. I am at the comic shop, stop number one of probably very few today, because I'm broke as fuck, and we'll see what sort of memories and conversations this brings about. Man, things are a-changing. Just got off the phone with my mom, who said her mortgage is going up. I talked to people this week who said their rent is going up. And not just the usual increase, these things are going up hundreds of dollars. How do they expect people to afford these things? And they just don't care, is the answer. They want their money. Loan officers know what properties and what things are worth, so they're going to do anything possible to get as much money as possible. But where do you go if you can't afford things? It used to be, okay, you could get a low-income apartment, but now those don't exist. Most apartments are $1,400 with first and last and deposit and all that shit. And then houses to rent are usually a little cheaper, so it's weird. It's like almost backwards now, but even houses are going up in good neighborhoods. So now if you have a nice house that you rent, like mine, I don't know what mine's going to go up. Come July, I may have to relocate, I don't know, you know, where I would go. But then again, if you rely on family and their rent's going up and they have to relocate, where's everyone going? Are we just going to get pushed to, you know, some dilapidated ghost house in the middle of Georgia or something? I mean, where are people supposed to go? It's just ridiculous. Another little tidbit, as I was just shopping there, I saw Truth Social. God, that's hard to say. Truth Social came out. I guess that's Trump's new branded Twitter. And I've also heard of Getter, G-E-T-T-R, I guess like Getter Done. It's also supposed to be a new social media. And of course, both pining to conservatives. My question is, these people keep creating Twitters, and no one's creating a new Facebook. And why is that? It just doesn't make sense to me. Twitter, other than Trump and a few people they were afraid of, they really don't have rules. I mean, you could still post nudity. You can make sales and post things for sale. I do a lot of business off of Twitter. And for the most part, people get to see my posts. Facebook is the exact opposite. So I don't understand why nobody creates a new Facebook for entertainment. And it makes me think that they're still trying to find a way to mine your data or sell things off in a different fashion. But why Twitter is more popular than Facebook is beyond me. I wish someone would create a new MySpace. We're just, hey, here's some cool music we can post without getting a copyright ban. Or here's a picture I found. Isn't this cool? Without getting blasted for it being, you know, insensitive. So, I don't know. It just, yeah, nothing makes sense. I'm driving behind a Jeep now, and his license plate's custom says MacGyver. I kind of want to challenge that theory. But kudos for having a cool license plate. Driving a little too slow, so apparently you haven't figured out how to fix the gas pedal. I'm going to try going to a Goodwill here. I don't really have the money for it. And again, I'm not doing the woe is me. I'm not trying to get out there and beg for money or gigs and whatnot. But things are changing, and they changed fast. Where I was riding a high wave in November and December, the minute 2022 took over, it seemed like everybody was hurting, everybody was struggling, and nobody had money anymore. But I can't deny myself at least walking around and looking at things, at least enjoying window shopping. I don't have to buy everything under the sun. So I'm going to go to Goodwill, see what sort of stories and memories that may spark. I did have something from the comic shop I'll talk about. Executioner song and the whole X of Swords saga. So hopefully I remember that when we come back. And this person, fucking A, get out the goddamn parking lot. You're blocking everything because you're trying to back up into a spot. Oh, this guy's a fucking retard. Fucking 16-year-old kid trying to back into a spot. Doesn't know how to do it. Now he's blocking four ways of traffic. God, people are fucking dumb. And now I can't get around because some other jackass on the other side's impatient. You know, people just, they're not nice anymore. I'm getting sick of this. It's going to get back to the point where we start fighting and pushing people around like when the restrictions first came out. Remember how you were arguing with everyone in the stores? I feel like that's coming again. Goodwill didn't have shit, as expected. But, you know, I have this theory, and it goes back to when I was talking about watching The Secret, when everyone was on that buzz. If you think of positivity and are positive, you'll attract positivity to your life. And I think being so negative lately, I've just attracted nothing but negativity, and that's all I'm looking for. So I need to break that curse, get back into something fun. I tried doing that last night. I saw a documentary on Tubi about the 90s ska movement, and I had no idea about the history of it. I had no idea that it went back to Jamaica in the 70s, and I had no idea the history of the whole thing. But ska was one of those things that always made you happy. For whatever reason, it was just fun, energetic, infectious. Even if you didn't know how to dance, you could still skank around. It was fun. I played a little bass last night, just not even practicing for a band, just plugged in and played the music like I used to when I was in high school, and just for fun. It's a weird thing, and I think that's something I need to do with art as well now, is I've been doing this too long for money. I need to get back to do what's fun. The only problem with that is if you do things for fun, you're not making money. So it's this endless cycle, and then there it is, back to negative. But anyway, it is what it is. If I feel like it, I'm going to try and make my way down to another Goodwill, maybe Deseret. I don't know. I'll probably just go home. Not really feeling it, you know? I don't know. Is everyone else in this, like, weird funk? Like, it's not a depression, woe is me, the world's ending kind of bullshit. It's just kind of, I just don't care anymore. I see a lot of that. I see, you know, happy moments where people, they're having kids, they're starting new families, but then the other half of people are all upset, losing jobs, property taxes going up. So anyway, about comic books. I was having a conversation with the tenant. I don't know what you call them, person working behind the counter at the comic shop. Fuck, I'm so brain dead, I don't even know what the fuck that's called. The employee at the comic shop. I was talking about them, how it had been a couple weeks since I showed up, and I didn't even remember what storyline I was in, or what, the lanes merge, asshole, get used to it, fucking slow down, truck. Anyway, fuck, I'm already in a bad mood today. Point is, I didn't realize which comics I had bought already, and even though I have a pull box, I have canceled some titles, and I can't remember which ones I've continued on with, so it's a little hard to keep up. And then storylines, they're doing some weird shit again that I hate with comics. I hate this whole variant cover wave. I think it's the most ridiculous money-grabbing bullshit. Because I buy things, and I have a photographic memory, I buy things off of the cover. I know if I've bought that cover before. So when I go in the next week, and a second printing comes out with a variant cover, well, I'm probably going to end up buying that too, because I think I haven't bought it. And then now I'm starting to memorize the first page of a comic. But then you got bullshit going on with, like, X-Men. Where the whole X of Swords thing happened last year. Right after the world shut down, Marvel started coming back. A lot of titles got canceled. But one of the first big stories that they were able to continue on was X of Swords. And it came through... it was probably like a crossover between 10 different titles. And it reminded me back of the day Executioner's Song, where there were 5 X-Men titles, and to get a 17-part story out, they put parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 each week, or however it worked out, so that you could get at least one or two parts to a story every week that you went in, instead of having to wait. You know, Infinity War was 6 issues, there's an Infinity Gauntlet, and then you had to wait 6 months before the story was done. So I kind of understand it. But at least with Executioner's Song back in the day, you know, you got a trading card, everything was polybagged. I still remember the little blue banner on top, and it was like a crossover between what Rob Liefeld had created with X-Force and Strife, and how they affected the Marvel Universe or the X-Men Universe. So it was interesting. Now, they do that with everything. I tried to get into Star Wars Bounty Hunters, and, like, I just wanted the Bounty Hunter standalone saga, which would have been like 5 issues. But then they branched it out to their Bounty Hunters monthly, and then their Vader issues, and then Dr. Alpha, and then Star Wars regular. I mean, they made it this 30-part side story shit that you didn't even know what the real story was anymore. And all the comic shops trying to sell it to you because, you know, you didn't know what Iggy 88 was doing when he pulled the slab of carbonite in the back, and some Mara Jade, whatever chick, stole it back, and you wanted to know what happened in the behind the scenes. And I'm like, really? No, my mind could have made that up. I really am not that interested in it. And it's, they've got it so that you don't know where the actual story is, and they're just telling you all of these weird, almost like fan fiction stories in between that just don't make any sense. So X of Swords, right after things kind of opened back up, went over all the X-Men titles. So I thought, all right, this is going to be a 20 long part that goes over all of it. But then when it ended, you didn't even realize it ended, and you were subscribing to 15 different X-Men titles that you normally wouldn't subscribe to. And that's how they hook you. That's how they get you. But unfortunately, they played their card too many times. I caught on to the gimmick, and now I don't buy any of the storylines or the crossovers. Which sucks, because now I'm missing out. But they're not making any money off of me. Wolverine came back. He was dead. I know why they do that. Same with Punisher. Sabretooth. They kill off these characters, or they make them go away so that they can surprise you with a new story, and then they just end up telling you that fucking Uncle Ben died again, Spider-Man. Like, we get it. How many, I mean, God, get some new stories, guys. Get some new origins. Something. Anything. I liked New 52. I thought DC New 52 was great. Let's give Jim Lee the power to tech out all the costumes, make it a little more modern, and just have a good old time. Start the stories from number one, because I don't want to start reading Green Lantern at issue 575. Let's start new. And then don't tell me that he was a pilot, fell in love with this chick and all this shit, and just on and on and on. Tell me a new story. New 52 is great. Loved it. And then they turned it out that it didn't mean anything. It was all just this Pandora chick or whatever messing with the actual DC universe, and then everybody went back to spandex, and then the woke agenda took over, and now everybody's gay. So it sucks, because now, like, X Lives of Wolverine came out, and I got the first issue, and I thought, yeah, I'm just going to get the main issues, because it didn't cross over into the Wolverine Monthly or any of the other stuff. I just thought, okay, you know, I'll check out the main story issues. But I was smart and they didn't subscribe to it. Well, it sort of backfired, because now I went in there after not going in for 3 weeks, and they've got the Death Lives of Wolverine and X Lives of Wolverine 2, and then the Lives of Wolverine's Deaths, and then the Deaths of Wolverine's X Lives. These bitches came out and made 4 different titles and just changed the words around, and they're all different issues. I'm not buying every one of them. I mean, fucking Yoda the title all you want, I'm still not going to buy the exact damn same thing. I'm just sick of it. It's like what I was complaining about with the streaming services. You know, you're subscribing and buying the same thing over and over and over again, yet all you want is the same story that you could have owned if you had just bought the season box set. How many of you people with The Office have switched platforms just so you can continue to watch something at random, even though you do watch it in, you know, sequential order these days? That's something I miss. I miss randomized TV. Which is why I've been trying to watch a lot of live TV or Pluto TV lately, because I don't want to just start from number one and then go from there. because every time I stop watching a show, I start from number one again. And then I've seen the first season 50 times, and I never remember what happens at the end of the fifth season. If it's on streaming, that's one of the nice things where they pick up where you left off. But if you own DVDs, how do you remember if you started off with number one or number three or, you know, whatever? I even at one point started dry erasing what episode I left off on the inside of the DVD case, and it rubs off over time. So that kind of like defeated the purpose. But, it's a fucking different world, man. Everything about this, it's odd, it's different, it's unfamiliar. We're having to learn and do new things. And speaking of new things, so, you know, Facebook is trying to reinvent itself and call itself the Metaverse now. Did you see the Super Bowl commercial? Where they... It was real depressing. They were trying to show how happy it was that you can reconnect with old lost friends and that you can... put on these goggles and join this happy virtual world, and everything's going to be happy and fine in the virtual world. They didn't realize what they were showing in that commercial was how brutally depressing reality is right now. So they should, if you hadn't seen it, here's the gist of it. They show something that caters to, you know, us in the era of Chuck E. Cheese and animatronic pizza places, or kids places, if you will. And they show, you know, probably during a pandemic era where these mom and pop places lost their business, they shut down, they had to sell all the stuff, and then they had to sell off the characters in this pizza place. And then they ended up being like a mascot for, a record store. And then they went to put a shirt on them, and now they're selling or promoting tacos somewhere. You know, these machines got passed around and forgotten over the years. And then finally they take it to the junkyard, and they actually show the thing getting crushed and broken and destroyed. And somebody saves it and realizes the value of nostalgia and wants to keep this thing. So they put it in another mascot position, give it a new job, and it's now in some space camp or something. But what they're not showing and what they're not realizing is nostalgia is dying. Businesses are dying. The things that we used to know and used to love are no longer there anymore. And anything that is being brought back is just being used to sell something new. So this thing is just a sad mascot once again at a space center. And somebody puts a set of VR goggles on him. And he finds that his friends are in the metaverse. So even though his reality sucks, he can escape into the metaverse with these VR Oculus, whatever, Facebook goggles. Don't sit too close to the TV, kids, but strap this shit to your head. And now he can live happy in this virtual world, even though his real life sucks ass. I think your campaign backfired there, Facebook. That's depressing as fuck. One of my friends from high school, which is now 20 years now since I've seen her or any of the people from high school, beyond 20 years, posted a thing on Facebook that said the Narrows Plaza Bowling that we all used to go to up in University Place in Tacoma, Washington, is being sold and torn down. And if anybody wants a piece of the carpet or some of the furniture or anything to remember the place by, come in and grab it now before it's demolished. And it's exactly like the commercial. Our childhood is gone. Take a moment to think now. Something that you loved as a kid. Was it the arcade and the searing hot frying pan from Pizza Hut with the salad bar? Was it a Chuck E. Cheese where you could crawl under the stage in that maze, and a giant rat that's probably smoking underneath the outfit is walking around trying to entertain you while you watch animatronic stuff on stage. I mean, those were the days. Those were fun. Even Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios, all things like that, they've all changed. But what did you used to like as a child that's no longer there anymore? Think about that for a second. I'm going to go to this Deseret. I'm not going to do my usual run. We're going to see what's at this Deseret Industries and see if that sparks any memories. But I'll think about it. You think about it. Let's think about something we miss from our childhood that we just can't go and get anymore because they've torn it down. And it's just gone. Tain't jack shit there either. Man. You know, this always happens, though. I mentioned at one point, I kind of knew when there would be things. Like, you just knew when to go out toy hunting and you would have good luck with it. I knew there wasn't going to be shit today, so I wasn't really getting my hopes up for anything. It just would be nice, because these things always put me in a good mood. Usually when I go out hunting, it's fun, because I get excited, and I'm like, oh, I found this one thing that, like, instantly puts me in a good mood, and I'm not finding that. There was, like, a Death Magnetic Metallica CD, and it's not even like the good Metallica, so I was kind of negative about finding that, even though that was a good find, but I didn't buy it. So I thought about something. Pizza has been almost like a reward point and a special memory point for a lot of people. Whenever mom didn't want to cook, you'd get a pizza. Whenever you had a birthday, you got a pizza. You do good at work, you get a pizza. I never realized how much pizza was a reward for something. And that's something from my childhood that is no longer there, that I'll never get back. There was a place called Pizza and Pipes up in Tacoma, Washington. And went there a lot when I was in high school and junior high. And it was a, you know those old cartoons where there were silent films, but in the theater you would have an organist, and the organist would have a lot of buttons that would trigger sound effects and noises, or hit a mechanism that would play a drum on the other side of the room. They set up a pizza joint in sort of one of those theaters. So you got to go, and it was actually like a thin, before it was cool, it was a thin crust pizza, and I wasn't the biggest fan of the actual pizza, but the experience was what you went for. And it was just awesome. You had this guy in the center of the room, like Phantom of the Opera, that would get up there, and he'd sit behind an organ that had four different trays of keys, and then maybe 50 bass note keys that his feet would play, and then he had all these buttons. I mean, probably at least 100 different buttons. But then all around the entire theater, there was a restaurant now, like, he would pull this one plug and a rabbit would hit a bass drum on the other side of the room. Or in the Old West, they used to have those kind of pianos that would play themselves. He could trigger, like, one of those, and it would play for him. But at the same time, he would play a Looney Tunes cartoon, and there'd be no audio. He would just play along with it, which is kind of what the Looney Tunes was. It was basically a comedic opera or something like that. And, it burned down. And I don't know that we ever found out why it burned down, if it was arson or a mistake. I think it actually was closed for something or remodeling or repairs. I think it was arson. I think somebody did it. I think somebody did it on purpose, if I remember the story right. Anyway, 100% unique place. 100-year-old organ. And it's gone. Everything about it is gone. Now, even if you went and you created a new place, it wouldn't have the same vibe. How many people have a favorite restaurant that's moved locations and it doesn't taste the same? Well, it's because the grill, you know, I swear it absorbs that flavor over the years, and it just wouldn't taste the same if it was all new equipment. I mean, you have to, like, settle into that. It's the water. It's the atmosphere. It's the surroundings. There's all these things that go into making a place special and making the food taste amazing. It's like the difference between East Coast and West Coast pizza is the water, because there's more salt in the water over there versus ours, or you know, it's not just the ingredients, it's some of the climate and the actual location that makes that area's pizza better than someone else's. But on top of pizza and pipes being gone, that I'll never get back, and never get that experience back again, there was a place called Brewery City Pizza, which I had heard is still around. It sort of branched out, franchised out, did whatever. But again, if it wasn't mine at my high school, it wouldn't taste the same, because it's different equipment, different cooking ovens, maybe the wood or the blocks that they use, the stones would make it taste different. I don't know, but that was another one. I loved Brewery City Pizza. And I'll never get that again. Something else that was cool that Washington was known for was the Puyallup Fair. And it's sort of what, you know, the food truck craze is now. Every mom and pop place that had a unique dish or entree or sort of burger or something they came up with would have a little pop-up at this county fair. One of the things was elephant ears. And it was just a flatbread pastry that they would put butter and cinnamon sugar and whatnot on there. And that was sort of like the staple. You had to get an elephant ear when you went to the Puyallup Fair. And then another place that's no longer in existence is Earthquake Burger. It was one of the first sort of gimmicky places that I remember where everything was supersized. The burgers were all named after, kind of like Heart Attack Grill, where they name it after particular things. You get a double coronary for a double burger or something, or you get a quadruple bypass if you want a quadruple burger. Earthquake had, like, the San Francisco was their biggest one, because that was the biggest earthquake at the time. And then they had the Japan one. I don't know. Anyway, they would make it on the specialty bread that was just, it was probably like a 12-inch bun, and they would make it really flat and thin, but it was so good. And then you could order a brick of fries. They would literally dump a brick of molded fry. I mean, it was molded into a brick, not that it was made out of mold, mind you, but they would make a brick of fries. And it was great. The only other time Earthquakes was good is they had an original place. I want to say it was either Auburn or Puyallup, one of the outskirt cities, had an actual Earthquake Burger that you could go to. But it surprisingly had the same taste as the one at the fair. And, you know, for people in Nevada, we had the Awful Awful Burger. You'd be drunk as fuck downtown Reno. Walk down the back alleys, and there'd be an arrow with a little door you weren't sure if you should go in or not. and you'd be inside this burger joint, and it just was the best burger. It was awfully good, awfully big, was the tagline. Pandemic shut it down. It's gone forever. You could still go to the Nugget and buy an awful awful at the cafe. It's not even close to the same. It's not hand-smashed meat. It's just basically a double frozen patty burger that they throw on the grill for you and serve up. The original awful awful that you got in the hole in the wall was special because it was all, you know, handmade, mashed on the grill. They would give you, I don't know what they call it, like really thin fries, but then they put sour cream and onion kind of salt to it. It was so good. And then the burger itself, it had like Thousand Island dressing. They were flat patties, but they would crisp on the edges and still be nice and soggy and drippy goodness. I mean, when you're drunk, this was the best food you were ever going to get in downtown Reno. And it's gone. So while I was trying to think of happy memories, I'm just hungry and depressed as fuck now, trying to think of all the things that I will never get again. I'm going to go home and bake myself a frozen pizza and cry in my comics. Man, that's depressing as fuck. I must sound like Eeyore with a stuffed nose and talking about all this sad shit. That's exactly what I am currently doing. I got home, and I am... Rona! Oh, good Lord. Maybe I will die of the vid. I know a lot of people probably be happy about that. That's a bad joke. Anyway, that's exactly what I did. I came home, and I'm currently making a homemade pizza. Did you see Bedazzled? One of the selling points, you know, Elizabeth Hurley and Brendan Fraser in there, one of the selling points the devil tempts him with is she says, "I know you're lonely." And he's like, "I'm fine." He's in a bar. He's with friends. They're kind of ignoring him and being mean to him, but he thinks they're his friends. She's like, "I know you're lonely." It's like, "I am not. I'm fine. I have friends. Look at this." She's like, "Nope. I know you go home and you watch the same TV shows alone in your apartment, and you cook a microwave dinner or a Hungry Man dinner or something like that. You microwave it, and then you cry alone at night because you're sitting there all alone." And then I look at some of these points that I'm going through where I'm like, man, I miss nostalgia. I just can't wait to come home and watch these Looney Tunes DVDs that I got. And I'm going to make a pizza so I can remember Pizza and Pipes when I was a kid. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm sad, depressed Brendan Fraser from Bedazzled. Holy shit. I go out with friends who think that I think that they're my friends in the band communities that might get me a gig. And I think by putting my face out there enough that I'll end up getting a job, and then I don't, and they're just using me for free drinks and blah, 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 and all that. Man, I need this devil to come tempt me. Which actually may have happened. I told maybe two or three people, and I always jinx it when I do this, so I'm not assuming anything will come of it, but somebody matched with me on an online profile, which I only keep those up for sheer entertainment value anyway. But I got a match with somebody that she just seems absolutely perfect. I used to joke that the only type of women I liked were ones with bitchy eyebrows. And this girl looks like she could ice cold stare your nuts off. She looks mean as fuck. And I'm just sitting there like, this is the hottest thing I've ever seen. And she didn't say anything. I tried to spark up a conversation. Meh. Nothing really there. Just kept going. I'm like, I'm not giving up on this. And I'm going to, like, be that annoying guy in the DMs and,
you know, I don't know, send her a duck pic. Is that what the kids do these days? You got to send them a picture of a duck? I don't know. Anyway, I found her on Facebook. I added her. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, I thought she wasn't responding because she wasn't on that particular app anymore, or not enough, or doesn't have notifications on like me. So I thought surely Facebook would fix it. Not really much happened. So I just started being myself. And I started complaining about stuff. And just throwing shit out there, almost in an attempt to piss her off. We said something about music, and it just cycled through a bunch of stuff. And I was like, God, you know what? I fucking hate the Beatles. And she, like, sent back the wide-eyed stare emoji. She's like, I fucking hate the Beatles, too. I'm like, yeah, they just sound like a bunch of cartoon Muppets that are trying to sell you jingles. And it's like carnival music. I can't stand that shit. I hate the Beatles. She's like, oh, my God, I hate the Beatles, too. And that sort of started this snowball effect where we were going off on all the things that we hated. And, my God, so we're married now. No, I'm kidding. But now we found a commonality. We started complaining about how Ghost Adventures was a joke and how we both think Zach Bagans is the biggest douchebag out there. And I told her some of my stories from working at the Haunted Museum, and she was telling me some of the things, and she had gone there and corrected people, and just, man, like, it's so funny that the thing that we hit on that we got along with and enjoy having a conversation about now is on the things that we hate. So this could be it, folks. This could be the one and done. You never know. She scares the shit out of me. Looks like she walked right out of Underworld with the light eyes and the dark jet black hair and the tattoos, like straight up vampire type, exactly right up my alley. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, that's about the only good thing that's happened this week. I'm currently trying to choke out this latest release for the Wolf Club. And I don't have any inspiration. I'm so backed up on commissions. I've got so many things that I have to do and so many things I want to do that I can't bring myself to do it. Or I'm busy trying to do stuff. I mean, my 3D printer's been failing. It's been one thing after another. I've got 45 figures I have to ship out, but I got to make money so I can actually afford to ship them out now that things have changed. And, you know, the tax laws, the $600 thing, it's really put a damper on the side hustles and all this. It's just a mess. And you got to understand, being an artist, you have to be inspired to actually do these things, even though it's work. I mean, I know I have to get up and I have to clean molds and clean the printer. Oop, pizza's ready to go in. Hold up on that. Sorry, got a little excited there. It's like Encino Man when the bell goes off. It's like, ding, meet group. Am I the only one that watches Brandon Fraser movies? The band was making fun of me the other day, too. I kept referencing this and saying some jokes, and people are like, nobody watches Brandon Fraser movies, dude. You're the only one that watches it. You know, maybe I am. Maybe I'm the only one that's seen Bedazzled and Encino Man and George of the Jungle, Son-in-Law, all the Pauly Shore movies, too. I don't know. But, yeah. So, about this figure thing, there's just been certain figures that have more or less been a pain in the ass to do. And I call it the Hart family curse. Anytime I do anyone from the Hart family, those figures are always the worst. Their fans are the pickiest. They take the longest. They have the most detail. And if they're not 100% perfect, people complain. Well, it seems people are going to complain about just about anything these days anyway, so that shouldn't come as a big shock. But sales have been absolutely terrible lately. So I thought and sort of planned for this. I teased in the newsletter that I was going to do the Blue Blazer. And when I did Owen Hart figures before, they sold out on every platform. I think I ended up doing 40 of them. But they were all, everyone was a pain in the ass. The decal work, it was a mess. It's still a mess. The Bulldog exclusive, oh my God, I must have bought so many different pom-poms and fucking, what do they call them? Pipe cleaners, tassels, string, yarn. I mean, I have bags of stuff I'm just going to throw away that I've all bought that I thought would work for realistic boot tassels just as something kind of fun. And it just, you know what I found? You know what those are for those of you that have that figure? They're Christmas pipe cleaners. I cut them in about 2-inch strips and folded them into an M and twisted them together so that it would look like his short cheerleader pom-pom type tassel boots that he had for that Royal Rumble 95. It was an ordeal, man. Like all this stuff. I had a good interview with Breaker with his podcast, You Know It's Fake, Right? And got to give people some insight on what it's like to be an artist and what goes into these thought processes. And people just don't really know how much goes into these things and the heartbreak and the money and the time spent practicing. I mean, I'm at a point where I'm pretty good at these things where I can say I'm going to do a figure and just figure it out later. Whereas before, I would have to make the figure, learn from the mistakes, figure out how I'm going to paint this and how I'm going to put it together, and then somehow make it work. So back to the Hart family curse. When I did the Owen Harts, just like people started tagging the Hart family. And then Georgia Smith and Dave or Harry Smith are trying to contact me. I don't know why wrestling fans do that. Like they don't care that you go viral. They want to go viral because they pointed out something on behalf of someone else. And I don't get that, because all it's going to do by tagging wrestlers is they're going to want their cut. I just don't understand that. I don't get it. That would be like me tagging McDonald's every time my neighbor has a barbecue and says, look, they're making burgers out here. You're not getting any money from this, but I want you to know this is what they're doing. Hashtag McDonald's. I guess the theory is that they just want to show them something cool that's going on. But, you know, it is what it is. Anywho, my fail safe after Jesse, I did a Miller Lite Jesse, and it absolutely bombed. It just, 8 people got it, and 2 of those were comps. That meant 6 people paid for a project that took me nearly a month to do. And usually when 15 to 20 people buy these things, which has been my usual numbers, it funds those 2 or 3 weeks that I'm doing that. Selling 6 figures, especially when I had to pay for someone else to do the belt work and stuff out of pocket, I lost money. I lost my ass in January, and I can't take a gamble like that again. So my failsafe was, well, everyone loves Hart Foundation. They've been bugging me since day one for a Blue Blazer. Let's fucking do a Blue Blazer. Well, now these people can't agree on which outfit they like. My 8 loyals that actually are continually buying things regardless of whatnot, they've expressed interest and they trust my judgment and they like what I do. But I put a poll out there and I asked people, you know, which version of the Blue Blazer would you like? The red and blue, the red, white, and blue from the Attitude Era, or the blue and white from the Mr. Perfect WrestleMania 6 match? And most people picked the blue and white. That's what I'm going with. But that means that the 4 people that voted otherwise aren't going to get the figure now. And by doing these
multiple outfit figures, it's basically like doing an entire new figure. If I have to change paint and change color, that's time wasted. If I do 10 heads that are all the same three colors, I do one color until all 10 are done. And by the time that 10th one is done, that color has dried on the first one, and now I can switch colors. The more we take that window down to where I'm only doing one of these, or maybe two of this particular paint application, I have to wait the same amount of time for the paint to dry before I can move on to the next thing. Which is why I always tell people it takes me about the same amount of time to do one figure as it does for me to do a dozen, and they don't understand that. My mom and I were having a conversation about that this morning, and she said something that would probably make sense to non-artists. It's like someone asking her to make a piece of fudge and six cookies. The ingredients involved don't allow you to make a piece of fudge, so you're already having to make a block or a brick of fudge. So what do you do with the rest of it if no one else wants to buy the rest of your fudge? You've now had to make this entire brick for this person that wants one piece. And then they also wanted six cookies. Well, no amount of measuring possible will allow you to make just six cookies. And even if you do the Toll House pre-made rolls and put it on the baking sheet and put it in there, it's not going to bake properly because the time is less depending on how much volume is in the oven. So you have to pretty much make 12 cookies minimum. What happens when you buy all of this product to make something and no one's buying it? And on top of that, now you have to clean all of the pots and pans that you use to make fudge so that you can now make cookies. That, in a nutshell, is what figure making is like. And not in a bad way, but every time somebody asks for a unique or a singular custom of a figure, say I paint a head for him and construct a body with someone that has a unique outfit, I have to line up two or three or five of these things before I can even start or attempt to do one of those, because the same process. I have to make a mold. I have to make parts for it. If I don't have enough parts, I can't start up and justify starting up the 3D printer. If I can't get at least 10 of these things sold, I can't justify making a mold of it. So now we're talking 100% sculpts, 100% unique things for each figure that I'm making. And a lot goes into that. And I have to try and find similar colors. So if I'm doing, say, Attitude Era and everyone's got black trunks, black tights, black knee pads, sweet, easy. Let's do it. But when people start asking for Candy Cane Macho Man from Royal Rumble number 3, and then they want Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 7, and then they want an indie wrestler with full body tattoos up to their dick, and then every color in the world, it's like, okay, people. And if it wasn't for the fact that I needed money, I would say no. But that's my general rule of why I don't do or draw indie wrestlers, is because the work that goes into it for a one-off isn't even close to the time it's going to take me to do that. That one figure is going to take me a week to do, and my week's salary is minimum $1,200. And I know you're not going to want to pay $1,200 for me to dedicate an entire week's worth of work. But in the same respect, if I don't make $1,000 or more off of a figure sale, it's not really even worth it for me to make molds and invest the time, because it's still going to take me a week to do. And now I've spent a week on a project where I've only made $200 or $300 off of the six people that did buy it. And that wasn't enough to fund my week. That means I have to find other means of paying for things during that week. So Blue Blazer being my apparent failsafe, where I'm thinking, oh man, this is great, I'm going to make a ton of sales, sell like 20 like I did before with Owen. I did a poll after I asked them what costumes they wanted. And Only about 7 people voted yes that they wanted to buy it. So I asked the people that aren't buying it, is it because other people are doing official release characters? Is it because it's not the character you want? Are they too expensive? Why are you passing on these figures? And it was 100% unanimous that it's not the character that they wanted. And I damn near threw my phone through the fucking window. Because these same people who have told me from day one, my God, I'll buy a blue blazer if you fucking make a blue blazer. My God, Owen Hart, gang. Fucking Owen Hart dildos would make money. Holy shit, people, nut off of Bret Hart's family. Fuck off already. I'm so sick of Bret Hart and his entire goddamn family. I hate them all. These same people that begged and pleaded with me. Oh my God, you got to do a blue blazer. Well, you're not doing the one that I want. I'm not buying it. Okay. That's fine. I won't do a blue blazer. You see how that works? I mean, I appreciate every sale that I get, but people don't seem to understand that there's cost involved in these things. I had to learn how to sculpt digitally before I could even attempt to do something like blue blazer, which is why it didn't happen a year or two ago, because, you know, you have to, it's basically a 100% unique head with the mask and then the design on the mask and all that. So I had to get to a certain level before I could offer something like that. And now here I am offering something like that and people aren't willing to buy it. And I thought it was because, you know, it's a pandemic. The stimulus packages aren't coming through. Christmas sucked. Everyone had to pay bills. January, winter energy bills were high. No. 100% answer on the people that said they did not want to buy the figure was because it wasn't the figure that they were interested in, who are the exact same fucking people that told me to make it in the first place. So now the people that are buying this figure from me, because they support me, have suggested things that I put aside because nearly everyone wanted me to do a blue blazer figure. These people that actually are going to buy something from me want Men on a Mission or the Quebecers or Alex the Pug Parteau or fucking Man Mountain Rock or the things that I want to do from Suburban Commando and No Holds Barred, the Iraqis, all that stuff. I put all of that to the side because these jackasses wanted me to do a blue blazer. I do a blue blazer? I don't want that. You fucking spoiled goddamn toddler. I should kick your ass. Holy shit. Go to my Facebook. Look up Jason WULF. If I haven't blocked your ass and you're just still spying on me from the UK, which, by the way, God save your queen. The rest of you, fuck off. Queen, I've had nothing but respect and admiration for, and it's when she passes, when London Bridge is finally down, that's going to suck. It's going to be an era of history that will be gone forever, and I hate to see that. But the rest of the UK can still fuck off. So that's your power of positivity for this week. I am your host, Jason Wolf, with the most. Sorry for the Eeyore ranting and posts, but that's the way it goes. And World War III. See you next week.